Each and every one tonight. Let us turn to the book of Psalms 111. And we'll just read all of the Psalms. And if you can, let's just stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we saw this morning, talking about the chemistry of light, or God being the ultimate light. And we want to just continue the night. Praise God. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verily and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and righteousness. This is a verse. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Our Father and our eternal God, we bow before thee tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we can come before you, Lord. We thank you that we're here. We thank you that you've washed us and cleansed us and called us your own. We thank thee for this great plan of redemption, and for thy wisdom is to fear you. Lord, tonight I pray you'll bless us that's here. And Father, for those that's travelling on holidays, bless them, we pray. For those that have to work, bless them also. And Father, whatever the needs may be tonight, we ask you'll meet every need. Bless John as he travels back from New Zealand. Strengthen him and Carl. Bless them. In Jesus' precious name. Bless Sammy, Carl, and David. Bless all the others here, Lord. Bless Samuel and Linda as well. Lord, for each and every one that's away, bless them. And for those that's here, bless them. Father, have thy way tonight, we pray. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, undertake for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God. I know there's quite a few people away, and maybe some not here, but the Lord bless those that's here tonight. John sent me a message to say that he's on his way back from New Zealand, and then they'll be stopping in Sydney for a few days, then they're home. So they've had a good trip, meetings in Australia and New Zealand, so we thank the Lord for that. Praise God. And we're looking forward to hearing a good report, and we just thank the Lord for it. Amen. We saw this morning about this great light, and you could call it the chemistry of light, or you could call it the light of God. But this great light we saw this morning, first of all, through nature. And we saw that God's ultimately behind everything we use or have God was the beginning of that. He spoke it. So man, anything he's working with, God made it. God said, and it came forth. So all we have, the Lord made, so we're privileged. And we see in nature, life, death, resurrection, we see so many things in nature. And tonight I want to continue on, and I want us to see God through the printed word. And here we've already read the word of God tonight, and we see God in his word. For God is in his word. God's in nature, and you know, Brother Branham talked about the different Bibles, meaning, you know, he said that there was three Bibles, and you know that, read it, what he's talking about. And but he showed how God can speak through nature. And there's people in the earth who will never have a Bible like this. They'll never have one. They'll never hear the gospel the way you're hearing it. Never. But yet God can speak to them. Because God can speak to them through nature. So they'll come up before God, and I don't know how it'll all be, but God will speak to them through nature. Because he's God. And God will do it that way. And then we saw in the stars, there is something in the stars as well that speaks. And you see God's different ways of speaking. But tonight we know that God speaks to us through this word. And it's a privilege to preach the word of God. Do you know that? Some people, you know, they think it's not, but they're wrong. It is a privilege to be called to preach the word of God. Because this is God's word. This is not man's word. This is the holy, infallible word of God. And they want us to see God speaking through his word. In the Bible we have a progression in revelation. In addition to the revelation of nature, we learn to know God from the word as God of love. And we see from nature God's love, and we see in the word of God that God is love, a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of justice and truth. And it we have the plan of salvation, the great truth of redemption through the blood that's laid out in the word of God. So all we have is in the word of God. And I mentioned about God sending Elijah in the last days this morning before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and that's written in the word of God. So God, somebody didn't just decide, well, we'll talk about Elijah. No, that's not how this happened. God said it in the book of Malachi, 4 verse 5 and 6, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. So it's talked about in the word of God. So if God talks about it, we should talk about it. And you see, I saw and I talked with a pastor in Norway. He said he's had a problem there. Some people never want to hear Brother Branham mentioned from the pulpit. Then there's other people, they want to hear nothing but Brother Branham mentioned. And you have two sides there now. And they're both wrong. Both of them's wrong, you know. Because you see, if you're going to preach and take the laws from the Bible here, you'll have to mention Moses in there. Or how you're going to talk about it. There's nothing wrong with mentioning a man of God. It's not a sin, you know. But some people, you'd think it would, but it's not. And then we have to place in history the different men through the church ages that God has specifically used for each age. And we have to mention them. And we don't mention them to glorify the man, but we mention them that we can glorify God that how he used that man, that messenger in each age. Then you go to the book of Revelation, you have seven stars in the hand of Jesus. And a star is a representative of a messenger, and a messenger is a representative of an angel. And you have seven stars in the hand of Jesus, and you have seven golden candlesticks which represent seven church ages. So you have a star for each candlestick, a star, a messenger for each age. It's in the Bible. So it's not wrong to talk about it. So don't get to the stage where you become to the place where you don't want certain things mentioned. You can't do that. There has to be a balance with it. I know some people might go too far either way. I don't want it myself. I want to try and stay in the middle with it. Amen. And stay with the word of God. And do what all this is about to get us to do. To bring us back to the foundation. Back to the true word of God. You see, the reason God had to send Elijah was because the Gentile church was far away from this Bible. Because
because of dogmas, because of false teaching that had come in through all them other ages. They had part of a truth, they had a truth, but they hadn't the full revelation of it all. They had a bit in each age. But in the last church age, God said, it'll be finished. All the mysteries. There'll be a complete revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ. So it's all Jesus Christ, but all the things will be brought together, and you'll know the truth and all these things. It won't be new in the sense other people had it, but bringing it all together was the thing, the key. And God did that, and that's part of this glorious Bible and this light. And the Bible says there shall be light at the evening time. And we're living at the evening time, just like in the Garden of Genesis. The Bible says God came down at evening, and he says, Adam, where are you? And God comes and calls man at evening. Then we see Abraham's at the tent door, and the Bible says Melchizedek comes down at the evening and communes with Abraham. And we know that was God in a theophanic form. And we know that God, through the Bible, takes on forms. He can come like an angel, but it's actually God, because he takes on a form. How many knows that? How many knows when your Bible talks about the angel of the Lord with a capital A? It's the Lord. It's not an ordinary angel. It's the Lord himself. And Melchizedek was the Lord himself that came to Abraham. Then we see in the 20th century, this is evening time. This is the late hour. The evening time. This is what we're living in. And God again, come on the scene. And God used a little humble man, born a sinner. But God used him. A seventh grade education. No education as such really. But God used that man to prove it was God. He didn't take a theologian or somebody smart. A humble little man. So that he would know himself it had to be God. Then what's he say, that little man? He says, I have nothing to do with it. I was only there when he came. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, isn't it wonderful? It all points you to the Lord. This glorious light of the Lord. So we see here in verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He sent it. God sent it on his people. So we can look into the word of God and we can see God in his word. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. The Logos. That's what he's talking about. And the Logos went out. All things were made by him and for him. And you see, that Logos can take on a body. Do you realize that? And God condescending, coming down. The plan of redemption. It's all through the Bible. Look at chapter 130. And let's read verse 7 of chapter 130. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him plenteous redemption. The Lord is mercy and plenteous redemption. We have the hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord. How many knows we're spiritual Israel? Because we are the royal seed of Abraham by faith. I know some people think they're literally. British Israel people think they're literally the royal seed of Abraham. Literally. And I'm not going to argue about it, but we are by faith anyhow. We are by faith. We're spiritual Israel. And Brother Branham tells you that Israel is a type of the church. That's where I showed it. And the Bible shows that. And Paul says that we're the wild branch that was grafted in. That's God rich in mercy. We which were not a people, because we weren't physically Israel. We weren't the people of God. Brother Branham said we're clubs on our back. Heathens. That's what we were. How many knows that? Don't think of yourself, well, I was a great lad. No. Nobody was a great lad. They might have thought they were, but they weren't. They weren't great lads. Sinners by nature, sinners by birth. Clubs on our back, as it were. But God, rich in mercy, give us redemption. And God showing us his love from his word, done it. Loved us. other. We could save each other in other things, but not in redemption. We couldn't do it. Because we're both born sinners. But Jesus Christ could.
Amen.
Because he was God himself, manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And his blood wasn't Jewish blood or Gentile blood, it was God's blood.
Amen.
God's blood. That's why the blood of God was shed. The blood of God was shed for mankind. And that's eternal. That's why the prophet preached the token. Because he said when the blood shed broke, the very life of God was released. And Leviticus says in chapter 14, the life's in the blood. And the life that was in my blood could never redeem you, and your life that's in your blood could never redeem me. But the life that's in the blood of Jesus can and did. It's the highest form. Higher than a cat or a dog or a cow. All their blood congeals, dries up, goes into the ground. There's no soul. But man's made in the image of God, remember. Man has a soul. And therefore God paid the price for your soul. Because he loved you. Look at this in verse 7. God loved them. Now, if you go over with me to the book of Romans tonight. And we'll just look at a few scriptures and share some thoughts. I try not really to preach too much. Romans 3 and 24. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption. So I'm showing you all through the Bible, God is speaking about his grace. God is speaking about his redemption. And God is speaking about his love all through the Bible. The Word of God. So we can see God through the printed Word of God. We see God. So just as you can see God in nature, you can see God through the Word of God. God is in his Word. Now not only is God in his Word, but when you take this Word and believe it by faith, the Spirit of God can quicken this Word and make it live. So that it's just not printed as it were on pages like you're reading it, but it becomes alive. It takes on vitality and it lives and it can manifest within you. When you're born again, there's something, it's not just a word, it starts a word. You hear there's a word. But the Holy Spirit quickens it to you. He makes it live to you and manifest to you, and you're birthed and born again.
Amen.
By the Spirit. For the Spirit of the Word and the Spirit of the blood. And you're born again of an incorruptible seed. Incorruptible. Now we saw this morning that this flesh is corruptible because it's born corruptible. But what we're born of again, it's born of an incorruptible seed. So that's why Paul talks about a battle going on and a great fight within him all the time. Because there's something in you that will never die, and there's something here that will die. And there's something within you that's incorruptible now, and there's something that you have that's not incorruptible now. And it's a war all the time. Because your soul's not corruptible. You're born again in the Spirit of God now. You're born again now. The Bible goes further. It says you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says he's translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So even if this heart stops right now and goes straight to heaven, the body can, it'll be here, whatever's done with it. But this soul will live because it's born again. So you see, the most important thing is not the healing of this body. Though we believe in healing, the most important thing is salvation of the soul. Christ loves your soul. And you see, the devil will laugh people away out there and get them into this and into that. But the devil can never give you that salvation. That salvation only comes from the Lord. No one else. Thank God for the salvations. Praise God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption through His blood. Now, you see, when you take the blood out of the message, you no longer have a message. Because redemption is in His blood. Yeah, that's the whole key of it. I know I keep saying it and saying it and saying it, but that's the key of it all. Sin come by blood. And death came because of sin. And sickness came because of sin. But then Christ came with a blood that was different. And He gave us the antidote for sin. Redemption through the blood of Christ. And this is why the Bible doesn't just call it the blood of Christ. But there's a wee verse that says the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Precious blood. It's not just any blood, it's precious blood. If something's precious to you, it's dear to you. And the blood of Jesus is precious blood. And we have redemption through that blood. Precious blood. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, people misunderstand some statements and they take the blood away, but you cannot, because it's through His blood. Let me read you this. A few days ago when Dr. Lanza came to me and never knew nothing about that and brought me a picture which the brother got it with him now. Have you got it, the picture? This is William Branham talking about that halo of light. You've got it in your Bible laying there. It was in a book, all right. There was a picture of the old ancient Hebrew sign of God. Listen to this. Just exactly existed in the days of Job before the Bible was ever wrote. God in His three attributes, not three gods, one God in three attributes, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three offices that God worked into, not three gods, three attributes of one God. But there's three offices, or three attributes, but one God. Now listen to this, show us the Father. Now many people get the Trinity all mixed up when you go to thinking about it. Some make it three different individuals, and some make it one. And they're both wrong. Notice it's not three gods, it's three manifestations of the same God, see? It's three attributes. God the Father, that was in the wilderness in the form of the pillar of fire. And then that same God expressed Himself in His Son, which was the same God in His Son. And now that same God now expressing Himself in you and I as the Holy Spirit. And the same God all the time, not three gods, three manifestations of the same God, three attributes of Father, that's what He was. He displayed it as a Son, that's what He was. And now as the Holy Spirit in the people, God can't be sending, He can't be touched because of sin. Then God Himself was made reflected in a man because man was made in the image of God. And God was made in the image, man in order to suffer, that's Jesus, so that He could take away sin. And then, now He is in us, yet a little while the world saith me no more, yet I'll be with you even in you to the end of the age, God in us. Amen. So God condescended. He lowered Himself. The Bible says He lowered Himself lower than the angels. Did you read that in your Bible? It's in the Bible. But God came down and He made Himself a body, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He stepped into that body. Then Jesus went back to the Father. But before He went back, He said, I'll send you another Comforter in my name. The Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you for the day. No, forever it says. How many reads it in the God? That He may abide with you forever. Then the scripture said, a little while the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because the Holy Spirit's in you. Now the Holy Spirit's in you, and the Holy Spirit's in me. God Spirit, which was God then down in the Son, then now in His church, God can speak through His church. Do you believe that? And you notice back when God was that pillar of fire in the Old Testament, that pillar of fire could move and it led the children of Israel, and God by Spirit could anoint Moses and cause Moses to speak as thus saith the Lord in the Old Testament. Then in the New Testament, it's not God in a measure, but it's God in His fullness in Christ. For in Christ dwells the fullness of God and bodily. And no longer is God speaking in some dry times through prophets, but in these last days spoken as through a Son. Now that same Holy Spirit is in you and me. So we don't have to search for our healing. And we don't have to search to get God. But God's here. The Holy Spirit is here. And we have to believe that. And we must recognize that. And because the Holy Spirit's here, and because He's promised to be in you and me, He's promised it. For two or three are gathered together in His name, I'm in the midst. And that to bless. Then God can meet you tonight. God can meet your need tonight. God can visit you tonight. God can do something for you tonight. You don't have to wait. God can do it. Because He's promised to be here. And I believe He is here. Now I want you also to see, we've saw God in nature, we've saw God's in His Word. Now I want you to see ultimately that God is in Christ. And I'm closing in this thought. But I can spend a lot of time on this thought. That God's in Christ. The highest revelation we have is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. And that's why Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ, the mystery of God revealed. It's the highest revelation.
Amen.
God in Christ. And Paul said, talked about it. God made flesh. Look at Colossians now. We're in Colossians. Look at verse 15 to 17 of Colossians chapter 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. Is Buddha before all things? Is Muhammad before all things? No. That's why Jesus is superior. He's superior. He's superior, I've showed you before, because He's no sin, but here He's now superior because He's before all things. Amen. How could He have a mother? How could God have a mother? When I told you God cannot have a mother, I showed you this morning God's absolutely unique and perfect the way He is. He can't have a mother. The Son of God had a physical mother. That's the Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. But God can't have a mother. And the Bible says, that holy thing which is born of thee. So she had a son born. That's the physical body that God made. And God came into that body. But that one that was in that body was before the beginning. You could say the physical part God made it. Because it says He was born of a woman. But yet the one that was in it was before that. Still Christ. It's a mystery, isn't it? But it is true. God made a tabernacle. God made a temple. He says, I've come to my temple. God made a temple. And God came to His temple. Mm-hmm. So you see, when you preach complete oneness, it's wrong.
Yes.
It doesn't match the Word of God. The three persons is wrong, and the oneness, complete oneness is wrong as well. Because God had a Son.
Yes.
And God was in that Son. And there is a Trinity in the sense of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is. Now I'm using the word Trinity meaning three, not three persons. Meaning there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who agrees with me here tonight? There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's not three persons. And there's not three gods. There's one God. And that one God had a Son. And that one God dwelt in a Son. And that one God in the Old Testament was Jehovah, the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day that led Israel. That same God came in the person of a Son, made a body, stepped into a veil in flesh, the Bible says. That was still the one God in His Son.
Yes.
Then that Son went to heaven, and He Can you get that? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit's the Father of Jesus, and the same Bible says God's the Father of Jesus. Now Jesus can't have two fathers, he's one. One Father. So the Holy Spirit is God. For God is a Spirit. So you see, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about God. Spirit of Almighty God. Moving on the scene. Praise His name. Verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now look down to verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. That's the difference from a son and a begotten son. I tried to say it this morning. I don't know. Maybe I didn't do a good job, but I think you knew what I was saying. You see, if you talk about small gods or amateurs, God. But Jesus wasn't a small God or an amateur God. Jesus was actually God Himself, manifested in flesh, not an amateur or small God. We can word it, because we word it, because the Bible says they call them gods to whom the word of God come on to them. And that's the only reason, because the word come on to them. But they're not God like God. How many understands that they can't be? You know what? You're a part of God, because you have the Spirit of God in you. But you have the Spirit of God by measure. Jesus didn't have it by measure. Do you realize there's no other man like that? That all the fullness of God was in? That God Himself come and dwelt in him? God has came to man. We know that. Brother Branham said He snuck 2 feet from me. God came to man. He said that pillar of fire is here. That's God. But Jesus had the fullness within Him. He didn't just come tell him, He was in him. Then you know where He left him at Gethsemane. How many knows that? He cried, He said on the cross, my God, why has Thou forsaken me? The Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Christ slept. The Bible said He was weary because He was like a man. But God was in him. Do you see? So God had a son and He dwelt in that son, but yet it's God in him. It's not God the Son. You see, people say, God the Father. So they've got one God. God the Son, now the two gods. And God the Holy Spirit, now the three gods. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the Bible talks. The Bible says that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. That's what made Him God. Amen. And because God's in you, we're the children of God. We are sons of God, daughters of God, because God's in us. Praise God. Now look at chapter 2 for a moment. Chapter 2 verse 9. For in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You cannot read that about another man. In Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't Moses like a type of it in the sense that God took the anointing of Moses and placed it on 100, but yet the anointing of Moses wasn't diminished? That's a type of Christ. You see what I'm saying now? Christ's anointing comes on the whole church. But look how many's in the church. I don't mean the church in the town or the church here. I mean the mystical body of Jesus Christ. All true believers. You're baptized into one body by one Spirit. Remember that. When William Branham was asked, what do I need to go in the rapture? He didn't say, and I'll tell you what, you have to learn this. No. He quoted Corinthians. For by one Spirit you're baptized into one body. And he said, if you're baptized into the one body, you're in. And Howard Searle's father wrote Brother Branham a letter. And I have the letter. Some of you people have it. And he more or less asked the same question. And he thought, you know, maybe he thought he'd get pages back. He didn't get pages back. He got just a wee verse back. Just a few words. And Brother Branham answered him just very simple. If you're in Christ, you're in. You don't have to be in anything else. Because Christ is the message. Christ is the word. Praise God. Now look over with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's read verse 1 to 3. Now how many remembers what this sundry times is? God in parts. God in parts. Right? That's important you get this. God who has sundry times in parts. That's what the word means. And in diverse manners speak in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God in sundry times, God in parts. God gave a part to this prophet, a part to this prophet. And it was all God. Right? But let's read on. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So he's not giving it sundry times here in parts, but in all. He's showing that it's all in Christ, no longer in part. Who being the brightness of the glory of his express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. What did he uphold it by? The word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. When did he sit down? When the work's finished. If the work's not finished, why did Jesus sit down? Jesus sat down because he finished the work at the cross. The work's already finished. Redemption's already been done. Now, there's more to come in. I'm not meaning that. I'm meaning there's nothing more no man can bring or add to this redemption plan. Christ has done it. He sat down. He finished the work completely. And then when God sends these different angel messengers, they're to bring us back to these truths that was already here. You see, people get confused about a restoration. If you restore something, it once was. If it was not once was, it's not restored, it's new. But it doesn't say, I'll come and do the new. But it says, I will restore, saith the Lord, the ears of locusts and the cankerworm of Eden. I will restore. And in the days of the void, Jesus said himself, Elias shall first come. Future and restore of Matthew 17 verse 11. Elias shall first come and restore all things. John the Baptist did not do that. If John the Baptist had restored in his day, he would have brought back in the law and built the tabernacle. That's what he could have restored to him. He didn't do that. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight, prepare the way of the Lord coming. But then the Lord said that he will restore all things. Matthew 17, 11, put it up, Ron. And Jesus answered and said, on the last truth shall first come and restore all things. Go to verse 12. But I say unto you that Elias has come already. John the Baptist. Look what it says. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer them. In other words, they did not know Jesus either. But they didn't know John. And they didn't know John. He's just by here shouting repentance. That wasn't their message. You have to understand in the time frame John comes. John comes at the end of the Old Testament dispensation to prepare the way of the Lord coming, which will be the dispensation of the New Testament ushering in. And John's message was not the same as Moses and all them prophets in the sense. Now understand what I'm saying. John did not restore back and we'll have the calf and we'll sacrifice it and we'll build a tabernacle. John did not do that. John preached repentance and baptized. They never did that. But John's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But John did not restore all things. But when Jesus was speaking, he's speaking of a future coming of the Spirit of Elijah, which is our time, William Branham. And that future coming of the Spirit of Elijah is a ministry to the Gentiles that will bring a full restoration of all things, which John didn't do. How many knows that? And God in the 20th century sent the spirit of Elijah the fourth time. Elijah's the first time. Elisha's the second time. John the Baptist is the third time. William Branham's the fourth time. How many knows it's coming? Five. Because Elijah's coming back to Israel. Moses and Elijah. Five times. But this is time number four. And in this time that God sends the spirit of Elijah, he says he'll bring a full restoration of all things. Now when you restore something, you're bringing it back to its original condition. Then the same prophet says the church started at Pentecost. Yes. Then when people say we're not Pentecost, we don't want Pentecost. We don't want Pentecost as an organization. No. Or the system. But we do want the Bible Pentecost.
Amen.
Which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And God turns us back to the original apostolic faith. That's why he sent the messenger. Because they're baptized with three titles. Now how could they be restored if they're baptizing in three titles? Follow me here. I know most of us know these things, but follow me here tonight. I feel led to say this. The baptized in three titles, that's not a restoration. That's false teaching. That's a Roman Catholic doctrine. God, there's no scripture for it. They quote you Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father. Who is the Father? The Lord. Father is the title of him. It's not his name. Father's his title. I'm a father to my sons and my daughters. But I'm a husband to my wife, not a father. She does not know me as father. She has no claim on me as father. I'm glad she hasn't. She's no claim on me as father. She's a claim on me as husband. So you see, when it says baptizing in the name of the Father, that's the Lord. And the name of the Son, that's Jesus. Because the angel said you call his name Jesus.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says he's the anointed. Anointed one, the Holy Ghost. And the reason you don't do it in Jesus' name only, some people do it in Jesus' name only, they're wrong.
Yes,
they're equally wrong, because there's people called Jesus.
Right.
You must give them a full tight, even in prayer. I believe in prayer we should reverence the Lord.
Yes.
And call on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that.
Amen.
We should be reverent. An old lady once told me that. She says, Tom, you always use the Lord's full name. Be reverent to the Lord. You're talking to the King of Kings.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go up to the Queen and say, well, I'll tell you, what's your first name? I don't know. What's your first name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, how you doing? You wouldn't say that. Would you? Well, I you'd be reverent to the Queen, wouldn't you? You'd pay her respect and her office that God's put her in. I would. I would pray for her that God would bless her. I believe that. The Bible says pray for those in authority. You believe that?
Yes.
And other people, you have to address them. You know, you don't just flippantly, it's not the way to do it. I believe the Lord should be reverenced more than all them.
Amen.
And then, you see, God had to bring a restoration, because when we go to Acts chapter 2 verse 38, Peter had the revelation because Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, remember? How many remembers it? Elias, one of the prophets, Peter burst forth and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which art in heaven, upon this rock, Peter, I built my church. Then the Catholics said the rock, what did they say it was? How many men? Peter. And the Protestants said Christ. But it was what was revealed. It is Christ, yes. But it was revealed to Peter. It was the revelation.
Amen. Yep.
That Peter had. That the foundation's on. And you have to have the revelation of Christ. Who he really is.
Amen.
Or else you're still lost. And then Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent every one of you. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you remember, Peter's not saying, he's not meaning the gift of the Holy Spirit like a lot of denominations say, well, that's speaking in tongues. No, it's not.
Amen.
Spirit. You could have another gift. Eternal life. It's what Peter's talking about. But you see where the churches made creeds and they said tongues is initial evidence. Copy me speaking in tongues and you've got it, brother. But you're used to copy me and you might not have it. You're just saying what I'm saying. When it happened in the book of Acts, they weren't acting, it was real. And Paul says, copy earnestly the best gifts. But you see, Peter's not talking about that here in Acts 3:38. Peter's talking about eternal life.
Amen.
In Acts 2:38. And you see how Peter, now why are you saying that? Do you see that? For the first church had the truth on water baptism.
Yes.
And the first church had the truth on the Godhead. And the first church had the truth on original sin and all these things. But because of men, they organized. And they had very little truth left. And God then said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come, and he'll turn your heart of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children, that's me and you, back to the fathers. So he turns our heart back. When you study the book of Kings, you see the spirit of Elijah is a heart-turning spirit. Study the book of Kings, you'll see it. So we, where people make the mistake, they're looking for a man. But we should be looking for the Elijah Spirit. Now when you find the Elijah Spirit, it'll be on a man. You'll have to go to the Bible to identify what it did before it'll do again. And it was on a man. And it brought a restoration. Because God wanted us in this last day to come back to the full truth. The Bible, the true foundation. The truth on water baptism. Then we have so many. There's polygamy. There's marriage and divorce. There's all them things. But Jesus says it was not so in the beginning. Male and female he made them. One of each. Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. And I... You know, if I'm using a name, forgive me if it's a name you know or something. I'm just making a point. How many understands that? God made a man and God made a woman. He did not make a man and a man, or a woman to replenish. God made a man and God made a woman, and God commanded them. God commanded them that. They were commanded by the Lord to go and replenish the earth. And remember before the fall, when God said to them, go and replenish the earth, they did not have to do it the way it's done today. No. And you can argue what you want about that. That's the Bible. But the enemy crept in. And he brought it about the way it is now. That God couldn't have said, well, a woman will come forth in childbearing suffering. That could not be the original way before the fall. It could not be, because God wouldn't do that. But after the fall, that's how it came. And God permitted it. But that's not the way it was. And that's why a prophet came on the scene and he said, you bypassed your theophany to get here. But you're going to be picked up. God's going to change your body. You're going to go back to when you first were. You won't have the senses you have now for your partner and so forth. Male and female, there's neither in heaven, it says. The angels, people say, I see the male angel. Or, you know, they're talking about a female angel. There's no scripture for it. Everybody knows that. I've seen an angel was a woman. Nonsense. You can't find that in the Bible. It's nowhere in the scripture, you say. And then when the man said about, you know, he said, now, these Pharisees will give the Lord a real hard question here. Now, this woman, you see, she was married her husband then. She married again. She married again. She married three or four times. Whose wife will she be? And Jesus says, you do her, not knowing the Bible. For the neither male nor female in heaven. Is that what he said?
No.
Now we will know each other. We believe that. But there'll be no such thing like man and woman when you're there. You're changed. You can't think about it how it's going to be. But it's the way it was before the fall. But you see how crafty the devil was that he got in. If you can't receive the truth, you're illegitimate. We're not. We are sons and daughters. The Lord loves us. Now Paul says, some of us were fornicators, some of us were adulterers, but now you're in Christ Jesus. You're justified.
Amen.
So when God looks at you, God looks at me, regardless to our past, he doesn't see it. That's the power of the blood. Why would people want to take that away? I can't understand that. It can't be took away. We need it. But God in the beginning. You see, this is the full restoration. Back to the true, full Word of God. Praise God. And look, my time's gone, but it's just 7:05. All right, for 5 minutes. Who wants to hear more? Who wants to go home? Praise God. You see, God's not just revealed in His Word, but God's revealed by attributes. But still all God. God is pleased to make Himself known to man through His attributes. Now we look at three groups here. The attributes which tell us something about God and His characteristics such as His mercy, justice, long-suffering, His holiness and so forth. They tell us something about God. God's long-suffering. He's merciful. These are attributes of God. Now here's the thing what disappoints me. When people say we are the bride and have no mercy, I have a problem with that. Because if we are born of that spirit, we should be able to show mercy. The Bible says if a brother is overtaken in a fault, let that name of spirit to restore such a one. Isn't that what the Bible says? We should be long suffering. Well, he said something I didn't agree with, he's out. Boy, they put you out in 2 seconds, wouldn't they? But you glad the Lord put you in, nobody can take you out. It's not good. Man might try and put you out, but they can't do it. God put you in. But thank God for it. These are attributes of God. Now all these attributes are ultimately God, but they should be in us. Because if we abide in the vine, you see, John 14, John 15, you know when you're part of the Word, you'll show it forth. Here's another one. Those attributes which describe His being, the very essence of His character, what He is. There are among others, God is life. God is life. People say to young people, enjoy your life. You have no life without Christ. None. I know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you, if I could get any young fellas to stand with me here that's been delivered from a lot of things, they'll agree with me. Wouldn't they? No life without Christ. The Bible says you're dead without Christ. You're walking as a dead person without Christ. There's no life. Enjoy yourself. What with? The pleasure of sin lasts for a season. But what I'm preaching about is not for a season. This is for eternity. Not a season, eternity. God is love. People talk about love. And the world talks about love. And people can look at somebody and say, well, I love her. The lust her, not love her. There's a difference. Lust and love's not the same. Lust is a passion that'll burn and fade as quick as it starts. But love never fades. Love endures forever. God is love. So we want real love. God is light. Not only is God light, but God's the light of the world. And even before the sun was made, there was light. Did you know that? There was light even before there was a sun. That light was God. What about the New Jerusalem? The Lamb is the light thereof.
Yeah.
See, God is light. What is light? Now, follow me here for a moment. I'm coming to close. I'm going to have to close. We want to look at the light. The Bible says God's light. Light is invisible. No one has ever seen pure light. No one has ever seen sunlight. The things which we really see are the objects which the light reflects or reveals. Give example. And this is the things that are seen because of light. You can see this pulpit because of the light. If all the lights was out and I blocked them windows, you can't see this pulpit. Now, when you look out that window, you're not ultimately seeing the sun, sure you're not. You're just seeing light. But that is the refraction of the sun, that light. The light, the sun's not actually in this room, but the light is coming into this room. But you're not actually looking at the sun here in the room, are you? But it's light still here. See, God's everywhere. God is everywhere. Let me just go with this for a moment. Look at John, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1. We read it this morning. In him was light and no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None at all. 1st Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. We cannot see God, but we can see through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, no man can see God and live. But yet Jesus says, have I been so long with the Philip and do not know the Father? He says, no, the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Why sayest thou then, show us the Father? Not what he said. Christ revealed him. He is the express image of his person. He reveals him. Properties of the Son. Listen to this. We have just stated pure light's invisible. The source of our light upon this earth comes with the exception of a certain amount of cosmic radiation. And the bit of starlight that reaches the earth from the sun at the center of our solar system. It is just in recent years that we have begun to appreciate the wonders of the sunlight. Now I'm going to quote you a paragraph here which talks about it. To arrive at the intelligence attitude toward the effects of sunlight, one must start with certain fundamental physical data. The sun is approximately 93 million miles from the earth. So when you say I'm looking at the sun, are you? You see now what I'm talking about. Can you see 93 million miles from the earth? But you're seeing the light of the sun. You're looking towards it. Its diameter is 110 times that of the earth. Its volume is 1,300,000 times that of the earth. Because of the difference in density, however, the sun's mass is only about 330,000 times that of the earth. The big numbers, aren't they? The sun's brightness is so great it's difficult to express intelligibly in terms of earthly objects. The intense calcium light or electric arc light interposed between the eye and the sun will look like a black spot on the disk. The sun is nearly four times brighter than the crater or the brightest part of electric arc. Do you ever get a flash with a welder? That's nothing compared to the sun. But it'll put your eyes out. A flash from welder. I know, for I've done it. The heart of the sun is progeous. The temperature at the surface is probably not less than 16,000 degrees Fahrenheit. See, if the sun come right down to this earth, you won't have an earth. It's gone. Burnt to crisp. Not right. The square meter of the sun's surface radiates enough heat to generate 100,000 horsepower continuously. Even at our vast distance, the sun's heat received by the earth is powerful enough to melt annually a layer of ice more than 100 feet in thickness. That portion of the sun's radiation which is received by the earth represents only 1.220 millimolth part of the total light and heat radiated by the sun. So when you view that as the sun which God made, and then God says, I'm light, we cannot fathom with our minds how great our God is. When you look how great the sun is, and God made the sun and spoke it, then some smart fella tries to down God with smart words. You know, evolution versus creation, and it's not even a contest. Our God is great, I'm telling you. And Christ reflected the light of his Father. And there's no darkness in God, none. I tell you, this light, you know what the Bible says of this gospel light? It lighteneth every man. This light lighteneth every man. It lights you up inside. When you receive Christ, you're lit up. Isn't that great? Glowing. If you could look, if you could look in the spiritual atmosphere, you're aglow. I'm serious. There's something upon you that God has placed upon you. I believe the demons know it. And they can see it. Aren't you glad tonight you're in light? And God is our ultimate light. And there's no other light outside of him. He is the ultimate light. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed. There's not many here tonight, but God spoke to you. I want you to respond. I'm not even going to ask you to lift your hand tonight. I want you to pray, for you are. You know in your own heart. God knows the heart of every man and every woman. And you pray in your own heart. This Lord is coming for his people. And God's fulfilled his word to us. To bring us back to the truth of the word. And God is in his word. And God's in his people. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the precious light of the gospel. And we know that you are light and in you is no darkness. Father, I pray that you'll move on each and every one of us tonight. And you'll unfold your word to our hearts. And Father, that you'll bless your children. Give young men and women courage to stand for the truth. To stand up for Jesus. In this age we're living in. Lord, we know it's Laodicea. An evil, wicked generation. But Father, we thank you. You said, there shall be light at the evening time. And the path of glory ye shall find. We thank you for this path we're on. Lord, keep us awake. Don't let us be like those on the road on Pilgrim's Progress, that they fell asleep on the wayside. Oh Lord, waken us. And keep our eyes open. At this end time we pray. Bless each one here. And bless us as we go out. And bless us as we come in. Bless the song leader. Bless your musicians. Pray for the sisters that had to work, that you'll bless them. Strengthen them. And for others, maybe a brother that had to work, bless and strengthen them. We just thank you for them. For each one. Most of all, we thank you for the lovely person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We attribute to you all the praise and all the glory. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving our souls. Part us now with thy blessing of Micah, and out of no sorrows, till thou would come or call. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As the brother Gary comes, God bless you.
Mm-hmm.